This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Kelly Anissa. Water is a critical ingredient to our social and economic needs. However, rapid development and urbanization in Malaysia is resulting in a steady increase in water supply demand for agricultural, industrial and domestic needs. So this imposes pressure on our water resources. On today's show, we look at sustainable water management and how prepared are we to tackle water security and potential water scarcity. So joining me here in the studio to tell me more about this is Tuan Haji Muhammad Khairi Selamat. He is the Director of River Basin Management Division of the Department of Irrigation and Drainage Malaysia. Welcome to the show, Khairi.
Thank you, Kelly, for giving me the opportunity to join you in this studio.
Happy to have you with us.
Thank you.
So fresh water is perhaps the most crucial resource for humans and all other living creatures on Earth. So tell me more about our water resources. Where does our water supply come from?
Thank you, Kelly. Our water supply mainly coming from our river, contributing about 97% of our usage, not only for water supply, but also for irrigation and industry and domestic use. And that's the reason why our river should be conserved in good condition so we can have clean water to ensure that our needs for the future, our generation, next generation for future, is able to tap resources from the river. And we have about 3,000 milliliter a year. That's the amount of rain that we are receiving from Malaysia, Peninsular Malaysia, and also Sabah and Sarawak.
Okay. And just very quickly, what is our coverage like for treated water nationwide? How many percent of the population has access to clean water?
I think in Malaysia, we can say that the coverage of water supply in Malaysia is going to be a good one, about 95%.
Okay.
But in some area, they are not getting the supply from concessionaire company. But maybe they are coming with a rural water supply program under the rural development program and things like that.
Is there enough water to satisfy our increasing water demand?
Yeah, I think that's the reason why our approach must be right. Our practice must be right. Because when we embark into the management of water resources, integrated water resource management, then how we deal with, how we manage the resources, then it's integrated. When we talk about flood, then how to minimize the risk of flood and how to optimize the usage of flood water. Mm. We cannot separate it out and let the water flow in the river to the sea without optimizing the usage of that water. Then in principle, we should change our approach and practices, how to manage the water that we receive from rain within the catchment area, so we can utilize fully for many purposes.
So when we talk about water resource management in the country, I mean they have focused on the whole division between surface water and groundwater separately, but are these two really are they both actually separate entities? If something is done to one, how does that affect the other?
Actually, when we talk about water resource, surface water and groundwater is one entity. But we separate out because we can access easily for surface water, but it's very difficult to access the groundwater. And it's very difficult to look for the potential area. And I believe other agency, government agency, is looking on that potential area. But in our management, we should include it together as one entity. But groundwater will be the last resort of resources when the surface water is no longer available for us to use. Mm-hmm. And we have to bear in mind also, groundwater, we have to monitor, we have to manage properly, because excessive abstraction of groundwater may affect ground subsidence. Because this has already happened in Japan, in Bangkok, management of groundwater must be put very defined very clearly for our next development of groundwater.
I see. You know, what are some examples of unsustainable water management practices here?
Two main items. Yeah, one is talking about the quality, and the second one is about the quantity. Mm-hmm. When we talk about quality, as I mentioned, we have to modify our approach and our practice.
Okay.
And secondly, on the quality, then maybe we have to look back all the legal provision that we have in the country, whether it's really putting our water resources back into securing our water quality, because there will be a pollution coming from industry. That quality of effluent, is it reasonable to be received by our river? Mm. And if the pollution is more than the carrying capacity by each river, then the river or the water in the river will be polluted. And to recover that, it will be highly cost, and it may be takes longer time. For the case of, I take a case for Sungai Kim Kim in Johor.
Mm.
And the expert from University Technology Minister have said that for Sungai Kim to recover as clean water, a clean river, it takes naturally, by natural processes, it takes more than 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are putting a cost, what they call to clean the river, then we are talking about the economics of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the time frame to do the program.
How does that also affect water security?
Water security is about how we should manage water security for our future, because the number of our population will be increased, the number of industry players, industry activity will be increased, because we want to be a developed country, and that's the reason we require more water for our future. Being said that, we have to ensure that our water is sufficient and available for those activities. So security means to ensure that our demand and our resources is balanced in terms of the amount of water.
And what are some of the variables that need to be taken into account when we plan for proper water management?
Actually, the department is embarking into integrated river basin management.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in regard with how we should plan our river basin. Because wrong plannings wrong planning in our river basin, it will give big impact to our availability of our resources, our water resources. The variable in here talks about how we should plan the usage of land usage within the basin. If you are putting wrong activity in the sensitive area, then you are putting more loads into our river.
And maybe could you just explain that link to climate change, taking that into account when we plan for better water management?
Climate change, we have taken into account in our project planning. We are putting some percentage to consider the climate change. This relates to the El Nino and other things also. So for the case of drought caused by El Nino, for example, in 1998 and also in 2014, we have, due to the climate change effect, we have less raw water. Means nothing we can do. But this is the area we have to reconsider in terms of planning. Where should be the best area to develop our water resource infrastructure, like the storage dams and other infrastructure also.
And what does our water management look like currently? Is the administration doing enough?
The government has putting a lot of effort in terms of that. We have done the National Water Resource Study back in 2010, and the government have approved our National Water Resource Policy in 2012, which involved the water security. I mean, the core of that policy is about water security, water resource security, water resource sustainability, and how we can collaborate all the stakeholders to achieve the objective of water resource security and water resource sustainability. And I think the country has used that policy for our next development. And I hope and I believe under the 12th mission plan, mm-hmm. this issue will be taken up and put in the more comprehensive approach in terms of project implementation, plannings, and other and maybe some economics activity programs, especially when we touch about public involvement.
But let's say in the event of a water scarcity and water security crisis, is Malaysia actually prepared to deal with a blow like that? Have you seen any sort of preparation for something like that?
That's a good question. Thank you, Kelly. From my experience, when we do the short calculation, it seems that our cycle, water crisis cycle, water shortage cycle, come around 10 years, in 10 years. And maybe not exactly 10 years, but maybe 9 or 8 years. As I mentioned, 1998-2014, is within the range of 10 years. And in some states, they have really working on how to deal with it. For example, in Selangor, as I experienced in Selangor, we have a plan for big storage in Bestari Jaya, what they call it as a water resource storage that can be used. And even now, that was an ex-mining pond. Yeah, okay. Ex-mining pond. And we have tested everything. The quality is okay for water supply after treatment. And even though the project is not completed now, they are supplying a good water to our treatment plant. Mm. So this sort of initiative should be taken by all the decision maker, all the planners, all the engineers, all the state decision maker policy groups. And I believe taking Selangor as an example, they have a smart water Selangor, smart water to deal with the issue of water. And for uniformity, our ministry, Kementerian Air Tenaga and Sumber Asli, mm-hmm. KETS, is drafting water resource law, which can be adopted by all the state, so we can have a uniformity in the state, and especially neighboring state, like Negeri Sembilan and Melaka and Johor, for example, or Terengganu and Pahang. So they can have kind of uniform in terms of issues that may be shared by those states, mm-mm. and they can resolve the issues within their legal framework.
I see. I am speaking to Tuan Haji Muhammad Khairi Selamat. He is the Director of the River Basin Management Division of the Department of Irrigation and Drainage Malaysia. We are talking about sustainable water management and development in Malaysia. We will be right back after the short break. You're listening to Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Kelly Anissa. I am speaking today to Tuan Haji Muhammad Khairi Selamat. He is the Director of the River Basin Management Division of the Department of Irrigation and Drainage Malaysia. We are talking about sustainable water management and development in Malaysia. So tell me more about some of the our alternative water resources that we can look to. There is something called the rainwater harvesting system.
Actually, a rainwater harvesting system is a good system because it's quite cheap in terms of providing the facilities. You provide down pipes from your gutter and to your big tank maybe just beside of your house. But the water can only be used not for cooking, not for drinking, but it can be used for other things, other use.
Like showers.
Showers, okay. Flushing, what they call it, watering your plants and washing your car, things like that. But that will be, it's good for to reduce the amount of water, the treated water in the family.
Mm.
Yeah, but it really depends on how much the amount of water that you require for that system. If you require more, then maybe you have bigger tank, water tank. And the recent article that I read from is about desalination program.
Okay.
Which was done by Kelantan. These are new things that's happening in our country because... like in Singapore, they have a new water, which the wastewater coming from the sewage treatment plant is treated and being used for other purposes. When we talk about alternative water, it's coming from multiple angles, and we have to sort it out, and we have to assess the amount of water available because it come with dollar and cents. Whether it's economics or not.
And you see, I was about to ask you actually about wastewater.
Yeah.
Here, have we taken advantage of that? Is there any way we can reuse it for other purposes?
Yeah, we use our wastewater after treatment. For example, like wastewater that already processed, already treated by our sewage treatment plant. Is being discharged into the river, but I want to stress out here that the volume and the quantity, the volume and the quality of that wastewater must be compliant into certain standards before it discharges to the river. So naturally, the river can police the quality of that water, and finally, we can use again. At the downstream, which be abstracted, abstract the water for other purposes. For example, like the treatment plant in any area in Indonesia, the discharge from our sewage treatment plant is upstream. But they have to comply certain standard and flows into the, discharge into the river, and the water in the river is being abstracted for water supply. For example, like in Japan, the wastewater is being processed and treated and being used for industrial purposes.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like cooling processes and other things. So it's good to be used, but I'm not sure the amount that we can sustain and the acceptance by the publics and the industry player especially.
So it's that perception that wastewater might be poisonous, it's dirty, and that's what you mean by the perception of the public.
Yeah.
I see. So when it comes to legislation, what can we improve when it comes to water sustainability and management?
When we talk about legislative issues, I think that's one of the biggest things that we have to discuss. Because in Indonesia, we have Environmental Act 1974, and our Department of Environment. At the state, we have water resource enactment in, for example, like Selangor, Kedah, Sabah, and also other state. In the state enactment, the enactment is not uniform. It's different between one state to another state.
Mm.
That's the reason our ministry is coming with water resource law model to uniform these legislative issues. And when we talk also on the legislative issues, the Environmental Act 1974, it's good to revisit, to review, because in some cases they need to be improved in terms of the effluent discharge maybe, and the effluent discharge, the parameters and the limit of parameters. Because even though the effluent discharge is not really direct effect to the water in the river, but they will affect the quality of water in the river. So it's good to revisit some of the issues in our Environmental Act 1974 in that perspective.
I see. And there will be a forum coming up themed Water for Sustainable Development, which will focus on the issues of sustainable water development and management. So perhaps you can just tell me a little bit more about that forum.
Okay. Thank you again, Kelly. The forum will be in on 9 and 10 of coming July and 2019. And our team is about water for sustainable development. What next? Where the Malaysia have achieved certain levels of achievement, and in terms of managing our water, and how should we develop our water development and management in Malaysia? And this is really a forum that gathers a lot number of speakers, locally and internationally. We hope that this forum will provide a platform for participants and speakers to have a good question and answer, and maybe some deliberation from the issues that we face can be expressed in this forum. And we hope that publics from members of stakeholders, the policymakers, technical practitioners, industrial players, engineers, developers, consultants, and public figures that interested to know about this program, this sustainable development, what will be next in our national agenda, can attend the forum.
And just very quickly, who can Malaysia look to emulate in terms of their good water management and, you know, their preparedness for a crisis involving water security or, you know, a water scarcity?
Taking the nearest to us is Singapore. If we are calculating the amount of water that they are require for daily use, and the number of people that number of population in Singapore, and the amount of water available in their reserve, I can say that they are really comfort in terms of that. And because they have embarked numbers of programs, and they have managed to communicate to their population that management, taking the management of water in the country is good. So they can, in terms of usage, they are reducing per capita per day. And in terms of potential of water, they have abundant by now. And secondly, is about Japan. Japan is good also in terms of water management, not only the water supply, but the resource, the balance up, and how to manage the improving the management of floodwater in terms of storage and other things. And I think thirdly is in Korea. I think it's also Korea has managed to embark into a big program, the Four River Basin in Korea. And they have created many events and many programs in related to river and water resource. And I believe many other countries in Asia and other like Australia, New Zealand. But I don't have a detail on that.
So before we end the show, do you have a final message you'd like to share?
Thank you again, Kelly. My final message will be water is our valuable resource for now and for future. And we have to maintain and take care of our river, because river is our resource center for our use. And damaging our river is also in the kind of damaging our resources. So don't simply throw rubbish into our river, don't simply pollute our river, because to reconstruct the river and to reconstruct the quality of the water in the river is very costly.
I see. Thank you for joining me on the show today, Khairi.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Tuan Haji Muhammad Khairi Selamat. He is the director of the River Basin Management Division under the Department of Irrigation and Drainage Malaysia. We were talking about sustainable water management and development in Malaysia. If you've missed any part of this interview or any Earth Matter segment, you can download the podcast on the BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. You've been listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.